Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to From Guilt to Grace, a mental health podcast for Christians where we learn how to root ourselves in the grace of God in spite of our mental illness. We live busy lives. Between work, school, family, and chores, it's sometimes hard enough to find time to sleep. Well, I'm going to add to the list of daily activities. For 15 minutes a day, I want to encourage you to go outside and just enjoy nature. No phones or books, just looking at the natural world around you. Before you roll your eyes at this and skip the episode, hear me out. Being out in nature is one of the greatest things you can do for your mental health. It reduces stress levels, improves your mood, helps you to be more grounded in the present, and is also good for your physical health. Being out in nature is also a great way to take time to appreciate God's creation. Our busy lives cause us to constantly be in a hurry and often be inside, and we often pass by beautiful works of art created by God without taking a second to appreciate them. Genesis 1 is a story that we all know, the story of creation. And most of us learned this as kids in Sunday school, but just like with nature, I think we pass this story by without truly appreciating it. So I want to take some time today and go through Genesis 1 and encourage you to look at our world with a greater appreciation. Genesis 1, 1 through 10 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good." Let's break this passage down and use it to hopefully develop a better appreciation for the planet we live on. The very beginning of the Bible gives us a powerful reminder that this planet we live on, in this solar system that surrounds us, at one point didn't exist. We then see God create the heavens and the earth. The earth wasn't like it is now. It was void and without form. It was basically a ball of water surrounded by darkness and silence. There was no land, no trees, no stars, no life. But we do see something that I don't want us to gloss over. The Holy Spirit is hovering above the waters. Now, why does this matter? Because where we see the Spirit of God, we see the works and wonders of God. The Spirit wasn't aimlessly hovering around. The Spirit was preparing for what was to come. Then, the silence is broken. The first noise in the Bible isn't swords clanking or birds singing or people talking. It's the voice of God. Notice what he says. He didn't say, "Let there be grass," or "Let there be sand." He said, "Let there be light." God brought light into this dark world. The light was important to start with because God doesn't work in darkness. He is light. In him, there is no darkness. So before he brought life to the world, he brought light to the world. Of course, we can appreciate this as we know that Jesus brought his light into this dark world, and in his light, there is life. So my first thing I would suggest you take a moment to appreciate is light. That may seem odd, but without light, you can't see and appreciate the rest of God's works. We then see the world as we know it start to take form. The sky above is formed, and the waters gather, and land and seas are made. And I don't think we take the time to appreciate the very rock we stand on. If you've ever been to the beach, you'll know that when you look out into the ocean, it looks endless. You don't see distant lands. You just see a line dividing the sea and the sky. When you turn around, you see seemingly endless land. Now think about this. From where you stand, you see only a tiny fraction of the world. While you are in awe of what all you see, if you take a map of the world and circle the area that you can see where you stand, you wouldn't be able to see the circle on the map because it would be so small. Keep this in mind as we continue. Genesis 1:11 through 19 says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day." This is where we can start appreciating the beauty of nature. We see grass come out of the earth. And grass is something we don't think much about. It's the green things on the ground. What's there really to be wowed at? Well, how about the fact that there are around 12,000 grass species? Seriously, 12,000. So just the grass alone is something that most of our minds can't comprehend. I mean, can you name 10 species of grass? I don't think I can name 3. I just always thought grass was grass. So after looking at the grass, we can start to look up at the trees, the herbs, the fruits, and vegetables. And I was doing a little research. In doing so, I learned that there are around 2,000 types of fruits, 73,300 species of trees, and herbs are too numerous to count. Just the fruit alone is fascinating. Think about it. If you ate a new fruit every day for 100 years, you'll have barely scratched the surface of all there is to offer. And don't overlook the part of the passage that mentions yielding seed. Did you know that a single pomegranate can hold up to 1,400 seeds? Then we continue to look up. Now we see the sky and beyond. In the day, we see the sun. Now, don't look directly at it, because you can go blind. And you knew that already. But have you ever thought about the fact that you can go blind from looking at a ball of fire that is 93 million miles away? To put that into perspective, the Earth has a circumference of 24,901 miles. So to get an idea of how far away the sun is from us, you'd have to go around the world about 3,734 times. And if you think that's amazing, consider that the sun is just one of the 200 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. Keep in mind, that's an estimate, as we will probably never be able to count the stars in the sky. On a clear night, try to go outside and count how many stars you can see just from where you're standing. Now here's the crazy part. Everything we have discussed so far was created by God in 4 days. It only gets better from here. Genesis 1:20-25 says, "Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So now we see the earth is being filled with life. We have birds, fish, and all sorts of animals roaming around. In your day-to-day life, how many animals do you see? Let's see, some birds, deer, raccoons, opossums, rabbits, squirrels, dogs, cats, and some bugs. I'd say is the extent of what most of us will normally see. Well, here's something to think about. When you catch a fish, the fish you caught belongs to one of the 34,000 different species of fish. When you hear a bird, that bird belongs to one of the 10,906 species of birds. Even something as small as an ant can be fascinating. See, I've only ever known two types of ants, fire ants and carpenter ants. Well, two is pretty good, until you consider that there are over 15,700 different named species of ants. Staying on the topic of ants, did you know that ants can lift up to 50 times their body weight? Nothing like lifting some weights at the gym, only to realize that I'll never be as strong as an ant. Ants also assign roles in their society. The queen ant lays eggs, the worker ants gather food and care for the baby ants, and soldier ants defend the colony. So when you see an ant, don't look at it as insignificant. Instead, appreciate that you're looking at a creature that is super strong and part of a highly organized society. So I briefly talked about birds and fish and probably spent a little too long on ants, but keep in mind, that's just three animal examples. We'd be here for a while if I tried to list off every type of bird, insect, rodent, small animal, and big animal. And keep in mind that all of these animals were spoken into existence by God. But there's one more part of creation I want you to take the time to appreciate. Genesis 1, 26 through 31 says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to every living thing that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given you every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So as we admire God's creation, it's a bit overwhelming, isn't it? The galaxy that we can't wrap our minds around, the earth that's so big that most of us will only ever see a small fraction of it in our lifetimes, and grass, and ant species that we know so little of. Yet as we stand out here admiring God's creation, we need to remember that among all of creation, only we are made in God's own image. We have been given dominion over all of these plants and animals. God called all of his creation good, but he called his creation of man very good. Think about the human body, the intricacies of DNA, The fact that all of our fingerprints are unique. The fact that we can't number the hairs on our own heads. To this day, scientists are still learning new things about the human body. Not only can we not wrap our minds around our universe, we can't even wrap our minds around our own skin. Yet, of all creation, we were made in the image of God. We are the creation that the Creator Himself came to save. We are the creation that God fills with His Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters of a void and formless earth. We are the creation that have the offer to spend eternal life with God. So for 15 minutes, go outside, feel the warmth of the sun, look at the grass beneath your feet, the ants and other insects that are crawling around the grass. Look up at the trees and the animals roaming the land. Look up to the sky and see the clouds and birds. Then look down at your hands and your unique fingerprints. For 15 minutes a day, admire God's creation. Remember that the same God that created all of this is the same God that loves you and calls you His child. Thank you for listening, and I hope that this episode was a blessing to you. Remember, overcoming mental illness is a journey, not a quick fix. Take it step by step and day by day. From Guilt to Grace is not a professional therapy resource and is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or replace mental health professional care and or medical treatments. I am not a licensed mental health professional. I am simply a brother in Christ who is on this journey with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.